This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The world we live in today is a very self-centered world, consumed with selfish actions, narcissistic moods, outlooks, and yes, even motives. Giving is just not something that comes very natural. For some of us, giving is very painful because, frankly, we prefer to enjoy whatever it may be on ourselves. Stay with us as we explore lessons about giving on today's program.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Tony Bukert.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God program. What I'd like to do today is I'd like to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20, to illustrate to us a principle that sometimes we might be forgetful of. Okay, so if you have your Bibles handy, follow along with me in Acts chapter 20 or jot it down and go back over it at your own convenience. But here in Acts chapter 20, I want to get to this principle that is extrapolated here by the Apostle Paul, by his appeal to the words of Jesus Christ. But what principle is he trying to get to? Well, let's let the Scriptures dictate that for us. In verse 32 of Acts chapter 20, we break into the context here and we read, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me." So we get the impression here through the Scriptures that the Apostle Paul was a hard worker, that he labored to get what he had, or to support himself. And oftentimes the Apostle Paul was either accused of not being honest with money, stealing, or people got mad at him because he wouldn't take their money. Sometimes he couldn't please anybody. But anyways, reading on through here, we come to this principle we're talking about here in the beginning. "I have shown you," in verse 35, "in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than it is to receive.'" And I'm sure you would agree that in today's society, the idea or the principle of giving can become more and more obscure in light of some of the teachings that are going out there in the world of Christendom, and can serve to challenge us to understand the spiritual lessons that God wants us to learn through the act of giving. Now, God primarily teaches us to give through tithes and through our offerings, but not limited to that. He can ask us to give of our time, of our energy, and our effort. So there's many different ways that we can give. However, for the purpose of today's topic, I'd like to talk about tithing and offering as the means of giving. Now, automatically, I know some of you are thinking you want to turn the channel right now, because any moment now I'm going to solicit you for funds, for money to support the program. Now, I'm not going to solicit any money from you today, so you can sit back and relax in that regard. I want to talk about some principles here of giving. Because if you think about it, really, God being a spiritual being, and God owning everything in the universe, I've always asked myself this question when considering why God wants me to give. And here's the question. Simply put, does God need my money? Does he need my offerings? Does he need my tithes? Well, God can accomplish anything without us. So he doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our offerings. He doesn't need us. So I've come to the conclusion through some of the studies that I've done over time that there's something that God wants us to learn, some spiritual lessons that we learn through the act of giving. Now, Before I get into some of the challenges that are posed to us as Christians, let me introduce some literature that we would like to make available to you today. So I'm going to interrupt myself just a little bit here, if you'd allow me to do so. We have two items that we'd like to make available to you today, free of charge, always free of charge. And the first one is a booklet that's titled, Tithing, Is It for Christians? And when you consider some of the teachings that are going on out there, friends, in the world of Christendom, there are some people that teach that we're not supposed to tithe, and some even teach that we're sinning if we do make a tithe. So this is going to help clarify some of those misguidings there in Christianity. The second item, the CD, is titled simply Biblical Fundamentals of Tithing. There's some questions that come up as a result of tithing. How much do we tithe? What does God expect? It's going to go a long way to answer a lot of the questions that we have in tithes and offerings and giving. Now, I want to tell you how to get these items here real quick. You can pick up the phone and dial 888-578-8791. And again, that's 888-578-8791. If you prefer, you can hit us up on the World Wide Web. And that's www.cgi.org. And if you have any questions that might arise from today's programs, simply write us at info@cgi.org. And while I'm here, let me introduce you to our webcast that happens weekly every Saturday. The times will be listed on the website, so if that's something that interests you, check out the website for the times. Now, getting back to some of the challenges that we have in today's day and age with the principles of giving and or tithing and what God wants to learn from it. Certainly the topic has been obscured when you consider some of the teachings that are going on out there in the world today. Some teach that New Testament Christians are, in fact, are under no obligation to tithe. That with the destruction of the temple and with the introduction of the New Testament, that somehow things change and tithes are no longer a means of obligation to Christians or our offerings. And you consider also, with that fact in mind, there's also another challenge that we have in regard to some of the teachings that are going on out there. Some of you may be familiar with some of the health and prosperity ministries that are going on out there and some of the things that they teach. I've oftentimes heard people say that you sow a seed, that be a monetary seed of money, you know, through tithes and offerings, and that God somehow promises to return to us an overabundance return. You know, just a few weeks ago, I was sitting there watching the TV, tuning into the religious channels, as I oftentimes do, and I was introduced to a panel of three speakers. The speakers consisted of two women and one man that sat at the center of the two women in a panel-like discussion, and as they were talking about this health and prosperity, that God promises to give us an overabundance on our returns for the seed of faith that we sow when we send in our money to support a given ministry. And the conversation literally went something like this. As they sat there, one would sit there and they would say, I see someone sitting at home, had their eyes closed with their heads down, their hand on their head. I see someone there sitting at home with $300 in their bank account. God wants you to give him that money, and he's going to return to you $10,000. You'll find that in your bank account tomorrow. And, of course, this came as a form of a competition between each party that was speaking because they would interrupt themselves and talk about the blessings that someone was going to receive as a result of them giving really what they didn't have to give. You know, asking people to give more than what they were able, you know, taking advantage of people. And there really are some bad teachings about what we're supposed to get out of the principles of giving and what God is trying to teach us through that. Again, God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our time. I've had the sobering thought that God doesn't even need me. I've thought about that before. What does God need me? Well, he doesn't. He wants to use me. He wants to use human beings. And through some of the challenges here, the lessons that God wants us to learn through giving can become, at best, obscure. Especially when you take in consideration some of the challenges we have out there today with the undertones of our society of entitlement. You know, here we have a system in our country where people now feel entitled to certain programs. Think about that for a second. You've got the welfare programs, which serve a purpose if they're not abused. You have the topic of national health care, which has come up, and people say that people have right to national health care. And I'm not going to give a political speech here, but what I'm saying here is we have all these individuals in society now that feel entitled or think that they have right to something that doesn't belong to them, so to speak. Let me give you some definitions here of entitlements and really what it means. Entitlements can mean this, and this is, I think, the definition that we're most familiar with. Government programs that provide tangible benefits to which benefactors have a legal right to. And of course, those go to assist the needy, the elderly, the disabled, some widows, and perhaps orphans. In fact, in the scriptures, you know, God does make provisions in his holy scriptures to support widows and the needy if done right. And in doing so, in supporting people who really need help in our society, whether it's providing people food that don't have food or providing clothes for people that don't have clothes, and through our giving, do you know that doing that, giving to someone who has need, that we can actually learn to build godly characters through the simple principle of giving? Yeah, we can build a godly character through giving by assisting the needy. But that's really not what people are seeing today. They're seeing the abuse of some of these entitlements that's really caused people and encumbered their ability to give assistance to the needy. But that notwithstanding, here, friends, there seems to be an ever-increasing mindset in our society of entitlement. Now, what does society's sense of entitlement have to do with Christianity and some of the teachings that they have? Well, I've kind of alluded to it just a little bit, but let me clarify what I'm trying to bring to the surface here. That sometimes through these ministries that are teaching the promise of health and prosperity, they are teaching really a counter lesson to what God wants us to learn. See, God doesn't really want us to learn the lesson of give to get, and that's really what's being taught. We give to get. So by sowing a seed of faith, as they say, and expect a return on our money. And I've even heard people go so far as to say this, that you must name it, that blessing that you want, you must name it, and then you must claim your blessing from God. I think, friends, that that is a very dangerous precipice that we step on when we start to think along these lines. Because what it does is it breeds a certain narcissistic sense of entitlement, even into Christianity. And there's a danger in that. Because God is trying to teach us something. God is trying to teach us to put on godly character. And we can learn that through giving. And some of these health and wealth ministries that exist today, we are warned about in the scriptures. The Bible forewarns about some of these things and exactly, you know, what the dangers are of that. And I'd like to turn and examine one of those dangers today by turning to 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 2 real quick. 2 Peter chapter 2, and just to kind of let us see what's going on here in some of these messages that are being preached. And unfortunately, the lesson that God wants us to learn gets put to the wayside through this type of ministry here, this type of teaching. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we read this, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their divisive ways, because of whom the way, the truth, will be blasphemed. By covetousness," that's key, "by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words." Now, I'm reading out of the New King James Version. So if you're reading out of the Old King James Version, just the standardized King James Version, the words are a little bit different. The phrase comes off a little bit different and gives a little bit more understanding to the context here, what he's getting at here. Really, the way it should be read here is this. "By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words for a long time. Their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Deceptive words. what that really means here by covetousness, when he says covetousness and using deceptive words, it really should be translated that they will make merchandise of you. In other words, they will take advantage of your generosity. They will take advantage and exploit the weak and the people who are unlearned and don't really understand the principles of giving and what we're supposed to learn here. And that really is a downfall, and it really is a shame that it happens sometimes, but it really does. The principle in giving, friends, is not give to get. As a matter of fact, I'd like to turn to another set of scriptures here to show us that giving is a mere acknowledgement that God has blessed us. So we give only after we have received. In other words, it's an acknowledgement to God. And we find that principle back here in the book of Genesis, chapter 28. I'd like to read you just a few short scriptures here. Genesis chapter 28, verses 18 through 22. And take a look at a man named Jacob and the example that he gives us on giving as a means of acknowledgement to God. And in verse 18, we read this. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took that stone that he had put at his head and set up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. Some of you may remember the story of Jacob's ladder and how he saw the angels ascending and descending on this ladder, and now he's acknowledging something as a result of this dream that he had. And he called the name, picking it back up here in verse 19, the name of that place, Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, notice that, all that you give me, he's acknowledging that God has blessed him. Remember, we said that in the beginning here. I will surely give a tenth to you. And really that means a tithe. What is a tithe? A tithe simply means a tenth. So what are we supposed to learn here from the set of scriptures that were given to us through Jacob's example? Well, Jacob was merely acknowledging that God is a gracious God. And if God would fulfill his promises of blessing him, then he would give a tenth or a tithe of what God blessed him with to acknowledge him as his God and his creator, and also as the one who provides for and sustains him. Friends, this wasn't a name-it-and-claim-it response to blessings, as you might expect, in regards to the way some teach the principles of giving. This isn't quite, in fact, the opposite. That this shows an act of graciousness and thankfulness from Jacob in return for what God has blessed him with. He wasn't challenging God. He wasn't putting God to the test. He was, you know what he was essentially doing? This is what he was doing. He was saying, you have blessed me. You are gracious beyond all measure. These are my words, not the scriptures. I'm just expounding here a little bit. And in regards to that, I would like to acknowledge you by making an offering to you a tenth of what you provide me with. This is quite the opposite, friends, of what's being taught out there in some of Christendom. This is the opposite. And in a way of saying this, in a way of putting this, friends, do you know that giving to God in order to give to get, and to claim a blessing from God, to name it and claim it, to have that attitude, borderlines arrogance towards our Creator. And not only arrogance, you know what it actually teaches? It teaches the exact opposite of what God wants us to learn through His system of giving. It teaches covetousness. To give me. I'm looking for my blessing. I'm claiming my blessing from you. But really, that's not what we learn through the examples of the scriptures. Giving to God or giving to mankind is an act of thankfulness. It really is. But that principle has been kind of looked over. It's been set to the side for this health and prosperity that is given. So, what do we acknowledge when we give to God? Well, there's some other scriptures that we're going to look at here as we begin to close this. If you would please turn over with me to Psalms chapter 24, because I think there's another principle in which we can look to, or at least to validate what we've already looked at here. In Psalms chapter 24, there's something that we need to acknowledge here. And so let me get to Psalms chapter 24, and we'll see exactly what this principle is here. Psalms chapter 24, just a few short verses here, and we'll just read over verses 1 through 6. There's something we have to recognize, and that is God owes us nothing. God doesn't make any promises to give us anything in overabundance, as is taught. And reading here in verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness." And automatically, the topic of ownership comes to mind when I think about this scripture. You know, how much of our money belongs to us? Have you ever thought about this? And how much of it belongs to God? You know, I think there's a misconception, unfortunately, that can arise when you talk about tithing as a means of giving. And sometimes I think that we automatically think, since God asks us for a certain percentage, a 10%, really it's a little bit more than that, and the literature will go over that for you. But really, how much of what we own is ours? And how much of our money is ours? And how much is God's? Well, when you consider the fact that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, God owns 100% of what we have. God owns 100% of our money. As a matter of fact, I've thought about this before. My wife does not belong to me. She's on loan to me from God. My children don't belong to me. They're under my care from God. You see, God is the owner of all things. He owns all things. In verse 2 here, "For he has founded upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." Well, brethren, I think when we take a look at ownership and just how much of it is God's, that being 100%, when we give to God, that we are acknowledging that God is our Creator and He's giving us something. Also, I think it comes down to stewardship when you look at it. You know, God has a plan for mankind. He has a creation purpose. When we take a look at this world, we have to admit something, that this world is androcentric in nature. Now, what does that mean, androcentric? Well, it means man is the apex of God's creation. He is the reason for this creation, and that God has a bigger purpose for us regarding His creation purpose. And there's something that He wants to give us. Let's go over quickly to Hebrews chapter 2 and see exactly what God wants to share with us. Because there's an important lesson that we learn through the lessons of what God wants to give us and how we handle the principles of giving and how they're interrelated here. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're just going to read a few short verses here. In verses 5, we'll start there. "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you should take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, you have crowned him with glory and honor, and have set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet.'" You know, unfortunately, the plan of salvation, the salvation that God really wants to afford us, what He is doing with mankind and what He wants to give us oftentimes gets overlooked. So what do we learn through giving compared to what God wants us to be a part of later? See, God wants to give us the world. And if He wants to give us the world, He wants to make sure that we're able and responsible to handle the meager physical blessings that we have here now to make sure that we're able to handle the spiritual blessings that come later. And how do we do that? Well, through the handling of our tithes and through our offerings. Okay? So if he's going to give us something much bigger in scope, something that's beyond our comprehension a lot of times, and he just wants us to understand that we have to be good stewards of what he gives us in the here and now, not to mention the benefits that come as a result of giving and tithing. And the, you know, you realize that if you tithe, if you make your tithes and you're a generous giver, do you know what it automatically forces us to do? How about balancing our budgets? There's a benefit in doing these things. But for a final scripture here, and by means of closing this out, there's something that I think that we need to go over to understand exactly what it is that God is teaching us, some of these principles through giving, that I think we need to go over. And over here in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, for a closing scripture here. In Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 1, we read this, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." To be imitators of God. You know what God is? God is love. And as a result of that, he is the most generous giver that there ever is. And he wants us to emulate his behavior if, in fact, we're going to be involved in his kingdom. So there are spiritual lessons to learn. But once again, take advantage of the literature that we have, the booklet entitled Tithing, Is It for Christians? And the CD, The Fundamentals of Tithing. Take advantage of those offers. They are free of charge. Okay? And I'd like to close out today's program, as we always do, by reminding you of the phone number to get these items that we're offering. It's 888-578-8791. And don't forget to hit us up at the World Wide Web at www.cgi.org. And we'll see you here next time on the Armor of God. Until then, let's all remember, let us all keep on that armor of God that we might be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.